Last week, Governor Rick Perry renewed the state's disaster declaration for drought to include 240 of the state's 254 counties. Experts predict the above-average temperatures and the lower-than-normal rain amounts that we've seen are going to continue for months and years ahead, possibly as much as 15 more years. That's according to John Nelson Gammon, the Texas state climatologist. Texas needs to deal with the drought and create new sources of water, and that's what Prop 6 is going to do on the November ballot. It's a $2 million proposal that takes money from the Rainy Day Fund and will be used for water development projects in the state. And to tell us more about that, we're joined by State Representative Lyle Larson of San Antonio. Representative Larson, you there?
I am.
All right, sir. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. Let's go back to what is it that Prop 6 wants to do?
Well, it's going to take $2 billion of the Rainy Day Fund, which is going to be an exceedance of $8 billion at the end of this year, which is the highest it's ever been. And we're not going to grant this money. We're going to loan the money to public utilities, river authorities, folks that are developing water projects. And looking at the average project would be about $25 million. It's building desalination plants, building pipes to pipe water, drill wells, conservation projects that people would build. So the issue is you would use this funding for gap financing. So if somebody was going to build a project, it's going to take 2 to 3 years for them to see a revenue coming from there. The state can simply defer the loan until it's online, and then they can start paying us back. And we can offer lower interest rates since we've got cash money that's yielding about 1% in the Rainy Day Fund. We could use that same money and yield the 1%, but also build state water projects. The money will be loaned out, so the corpus will stay intact either through money available or through receivables. So I think a lot of folks were thinking that we were going to grant this money out. No, all of it will be loaned to these folks.
So is it a low interest loan?
No, yes, sir. It will be as low as any of the AAA rating agencies can get right now with the market the way it's set.
And who decides who gets a loan and who doesn't?
Okay. You go through the regional planning groups. There's 16 regions in the state. And so it's going to be from the bottom up. They make decisions on which projects within their region that they want to pursue financing. And then that's elevated to the Texas Water Development Board, which will set a priority of which projects would be funded. So it's not going to be to the discretion of the Water Development Board or if somebody shows up with a neat idea. It has to be vetted through the regions, and then the decision will be made at the state level, at the water development level.
$2 billion, it's a lot of money. Churning around like that, it creates a lot of opportunity for people who know how to move money around. So how do we know that this isn't going to be favored towards these giant mega engineering dirt moving projects at the cost of trying to do, you know, simple solutions that don't cost a whole lot of money, but it does take some resources?
No, you're exactly right. The cheapest water that we can realize is the water we don't use. So 20% of the fund will be dedicated towards conservation. 10% of the fund will be dedicated towards the rural interest, whether it be ag projects or some of the rural water providers that need to build projects for their population centers. So there is a targeted interest to protect the smaller interests. Then, to be candid with you, the regions have done a real good job over the last couple decades vetting the different projects that would bring the maximum benefit to folks, whether it be the industrial base, the population center, or the ag interest. So that's why we're deferring to their judgment, and then when it comes to the state, we'll be funding it. We're trying to parlay somewhere between $25 and $30 billion worth of projects over the next 30 years, and the history of the Water Development Board having water infrastructure funds, that's the number that we're coming up with. the water plan right now, the stated cost would be somewhere in the $53 billion range. So this would pay for essentially half of that plan.
We can build reservoirs, but are we just taking the rain or the water that we have now and just stretching it thinner? It doesn't create more water.
We have to bring new water to bear, and I think the New Horizon for Texas Water is the brackish component under the fresh water and aquifers all over the state. If you look at the evolution of the desalination industry and the cost of membrane technology has come down significantly and it's more affordable. We've got seven strong desal plants that are feeding into population centers right now, six in the valley and one in El Paso. With 3 billion acre-feet of brackish water, I think that's the future for
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation with Representative Lyle Larson of San Antonio about Prop 6, the $2 billion for water development projects. And we come back from the break. We're going to bring in our guest from the Nature Conservancy. And we want to hear from you. The call in, the number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Forecast, last I checked, calls for rain in San Antonio over the weekend. That's good news. But unfortunately, overall, over the past few years, we haven't been getting enough rain across the state. We're in a state of drought, and there's not enough water. Reservoirs are going dry. Rivers are going dry. Creeks are going dry. And so the state is trying to figure out what we can do about that, how we can be smarter with our water. And so there's Prop 6 that's on the ballot coming up in November, asking Texans to vote yes or no on whether or not we want to put $2 billion aside from the Rainy Day Fund as a bank that can be used to fund water development projects across the state. We've been speaking with State Representative Republican Lyle Larson of San Antonio. And joining me now also, we've got Chloe Lieberneck. She is from the Nature Conservancy. She's the Director of Government Relations. Chloe, you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, David.
Hey, it's good to talk to you again. So tell me, what is your stake in what's happening here?
Well, the Nature Conservancy does support Prop 6. As I heard Representative Larson describing it before, the investment is much needed in their state water plan. One of the key things to, I think, remember about Prop 6, though, is that it's not really just about money, is that should it pass, and when it passes, it will trigger a number of really good policy recommendations that the legislature passed in the last session, which include a 20% set-aside of that money for conservation and reuse projects that are in the state water plan, and an additional 10% of that money would go towards agricultural conservation projects and rural projects as well. So that's one of the real keys for us, is not just the money, but the policy behind it.
So the agricultural conservation issue, what is that?
We actually have fairly high agricultural water losses across the state. So if we could just shore up some of the and use our water more efficiently in agricultural, we actually gain water that can be used for other purposes. So when you look at the types of projects in the state water plan, about 17% of our future water supply is slated to come from projects that are irrigation conservation. So that's things like replacing old equipment that's leaking, laser leveling fields, projects like that.
And I hear a lot about trying to put plastic lining on irrigation ditches because so much is lost through seepage, that just putting down some cheap plastic lining would do us a lot of good.
Well, that's right. Lining irrigation ditches is one easy way to achieve water savings, and that would be something that could be paid for through this new money.
All right, let me get some callers on the air. They want to join the conversation. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Let's get John in here. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to comment on the bill. I heard the gentleman earlier was saying that 20% of this is going towards conservation, and I work on the Guadalupe. We do a lot of kayak rentals and stuff like that, and of course business has been really bad, and working with water as much as we do, I just think that 20% is a little short-sighted. With all the new construction that's going on in Texas, there's a lot of people coming here for good reason, but no education into lowering, xeriscaping yards or lowering the amount that people are watering has been done. I mean, it's several billion dollars a year that goes into, you know, building infrastructure, you know, new sprinkler systems and all of this. And it seems kind of backwards to...
So you think 20% is too low for you for the conservation?
Way too low.
All right, listen.
I mean, the Comal Spring in New Braunfels is dry. It's completely dry. It's
okay.
Never been dry in the history of New Braunfels, and it's dry.
All right, let's see what the state representative Larson has to say about that. Go ahead.
He makes an excellent point. The objective is actually a 34% number. We put a minimum of 20% to make sure that all of the regions, as they do their planning, that they've got a targeted goal of an excess of 20. He's exactly right. If you look at what the city of El Paso has done with an average of 8 inches of rainfall every year, their best management practices are that they've got strict enforcement of conservation measures on water and grass. So ultimately, most of those folks have gone through xeriscaping years ago. Dallas and Houston, or Dallas and Fort Worth, recently have mandatory conservation on, and so we're changing the practices, and communities all over the state don't need to wait for a trigger on an aquifer or on a river or a surface reservoir. We need to be doing this year round. Our climate has changed in Texas significantly over the last 80 years. Everything west of I-35 over the last 80 years, we've lost an average 1 inch of rainfall every decade. So essentially, we've got New Mexico's weather out in the western part of our state. So we need to start changing the culture on how we conserve water. That is our biggest opportunity, is to save the water we're not using. So I think that conservation will be stressed throughout this plan.
And Chloe from the Nature Conservancy, do you think that, that's an adequate number to deal with the conservation issue?
Well, I think the 20% number really is a floor. And when you look at the 20% number plus another 10% for agricultural conservation and rural projects, that's getting you up a little closer to that 34% that Representative Larson was talking about. But he also makes a really good point, is that the conservation efforts that we need to do as we go forward aren't just going to be about conservation projects in the state water plan. I mean, it is essential that we end up just changing the way that we think and treat water going forward, because we have a real water scarcity issue. And so a lot of those things end up being, on a city-by-city basis, regulatory in nature. So things like the watering day cutbacks, things like designing a true conservation rate structure that would incentivize conservation but also maintain a rate base for the utility. So some of those things are need to be pushed forward outside of the context of just the state water plan. And Senator Watson, this session, just had success passing a bill that encourages xeriscaping, like prohibits HOAs from preventing a homeowner to xeriscape. So we're seeing changes moving forward in other conservation measures in addition to this particular state water plan legislation.
All right. So let's get another caller on the air. Our phone number is 614-8980. Pat, welcome to The Source. Pat, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks, David. This is really an interesting show. I know Representative Larson mentioned desalinization right before you went to a break earlier, and I hope I didn't miss anything on it, but I'm curious, why not put some really big desalinization plants on the coast?
Okay, Pat, let's let Representative Larson address that.
Well, right now, the focus is bringing water into the population centers, and we have very productive brackish zones in and around a lot of our population centers. It's a whole lot easier to treat it because the salinity of the water or the chlorides that are present in it are roughly 10% of what they are in coastal water. So it makes more sense, plus the transportation cost of building pipelines into facilities that we're using to purify water. It's just a whole lot simpler. That, I think, will go to the brackish component, but it's not going to rule out the seawater. Somewhere within the next decade, you're going to see two or three plants that will be built on the coast. coastline to bring the water in. Most likely Brownsville, and then Corpus is engaged in looking at a proposal right now. But you get into East Texas and you in Central and West Texas, there's just a lot of brackish water that we can treat, bring it up at a fraction of the cost, not only to treat it but to transport it into areas where we need it.
So, Representative Larson, you would think that, you know, people know we're in a drought. We know we've got to figure out a water solution. So something like a proposition like this, people may have some questions or some issues, but it seemed like, well, what else are we going to do? So maybe this will be a slam dunk at the polls, but maybe not, because looking back at 2011, we had Prop 2, which was also billions of dollars set aside, $6 billion for the Texas Water Development Board, and that only passed by 51% of the vote. So it can be tough.
It is, and our big challenge is apathy. These November constitutional elections, you don't have a big turnout, and then you've got a certain sector of the population that just won't support funding anything, regardless of what it is. So, and the other thing is, if it starts raining, like you had said, the forecast is supposed to rain this weekend. If it rains 2 weeks prior to an election, we've seen in Texas where people say, you know, indicate that, well, I think everything's all right now. It's been raining for 2 weeks. But you look at the iconic picture of Lake Travis, and then closer to us is Medina Lake, where these lakes have dried up essentially at 30 and 40% capacity, and Medina Lake at 4% capacity. We've got to do something. We have seen unprecedented depletions in our groundwater and our surface water, not only due to the drought, but the restraints on developing new water resources, and the new population that we've got in the state right now is just putting a lot of pressure on our resources. If we don't do anything, we will start losing jobs by the tens of thousands, because this is the number one issue for folks that are bringing their businesses into Texas is, are you going to have an adequate, firm yield of water for our manufacturing processes or for whatever we bring into your state?
Okay, back to the phones. One last caller, Kathy. Kathy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. My question is in regards to the agricultural land. I know several years ago my parents were involved in a big battle that went on and on between rural area southeast of San Antonio and the city of San Antonio, because they were wanting to build a reservoir in around the Floresville-Stockdale Post area, and they came up to saying that a lot of this land that they were wanting to take up to build this reservoir was useless land. My question is, how did they determine that it's useless, number one? And number two, how is Proposition 6 going to ensure that good, useful, productive agricultural lands are not taken up to build reservoirs, and that they're not then going, if they don't build a reservoir, that these cities, larger cities, aren't going to come in and start drilling these huge wells?
Okay, Kathy, I got to cut you off there because I got to get an answer, and we're almost out of time. So, Representative Larson, any answer for that?
Well, we can't jeopardize our food stock, and it can't be put in a battle between the urban and the rural areas. We've got to support the ag interest. I'm not a big proponent of the reservoir plans we've got in the state, because you look at 50 to 60% of the water is going to be lost to evaporation. Most of the states west of us, in Florida and a number of states in the east, they're storing our water underground. I think that's the next challenge we got, is finding the areas we can store water and won't be subject to evaporation. And you won't be flooding people's property for reservoirs and take it out of production into perpetuity.
All right. Well, thank you, Representative Larson, for joining us, talking about the Prop 6 that's going to be on the ballot. Also joining the conversation, we had Chloe Liebernex from the Nature Conservancy. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Source and contributing. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to stop for NPR News. And when we come back, we're going to get an update on the Tobin Center for the Performing Arts. Stay tuned.